ready for transformation as you listen to God's word through His servant. For inquiries, contact the Seed Sowers Ministry on 080-666-27754 or 090-5221-6374. Or you can email us at the Seed Sowers Ministry 18@gmail.com. Be blessed as you listen.
Because anytime you make mistake, what will you say? What will you take into my heart? Will it now mean that God cannot use me again? What is making you afraid? The glory you think your life will miss.
Oh, that's a problem.
I'm telling you, honestly, as God was dealing with me yesterday, oh, I said, my God. Let me tell you the topic I wanted to preach before the Spirit of God said, I didn't send you that one. I wrote here, I said, continual breaking. God said, see, I cancel it. Here you see. I wanted to form a topic. They said, you've not listened though. Any deadness. And he began to show me some things. Do you know that when I go to do retreats for the day of glory, you know what God said will make me to become? For the fact that I am informed beforehand, it's not a reason to run to it in my power. No. The information is for the privilege of knowing. How to come about it? It's not in two things. Do you know how to come about it? How many of you know what it means to say author and finisher? God does not start a project that he cannot finish. God does not. If God started you, he cannot but finish you. Oh, are you with me? Amen. Listen. Do you know that? Have you ever made anything in your entire life before, sir? You made something, do something, whether book, whether Bible, whether anything. Have you ever come up with anything before? A project, an article, whatever?
No.
You've never?
Okay, apart from my school project.
Anything. School project. Have you ever come up with something before and then you finished it?
Yes, sir.
Why did you finish it?
Because I can't just abandon it.
Why? Let's say your school project, for example. Did you do school project? Oh, you're a graduate then. When you started your project, why did you finish it? So why do people finish?
Because they want to.
There is joy and satisfaction in finishing. There is a fulfillment in finishing. If you don't finish, where will your mind be? Can you have a certificate when you did not finish?
No.
What is the joy that makes you go through all the rigor of university? The joy of finishing. Who authored me?
God.
Who will finish me?
God.
Why will he finish me? It's for his own joy. Who for the joy that was set before him? In finishing, in uttering me, he knows the things he's going to face. Do you think that when God uttered me, he's not aware that Satan will contend for me? What if Satan is contending for me? What is my own duty? To yield to my author. I don't have any big business to do. I'm coming. We are looking at examples. You will see that the only thing that took people out was that they themselves. They did not. That's why I say yieldedness. It's still your responsibility. If God, look at that day that, you see, it was when we later studied Saul deeply. We saw that Saul is a rebel. Because if you talk about Saul, we should talk about Ananias and Sapphira too. We should talk about Judas. For we have examples in the Bible. You have one responsibility. What's that responsibility?
Yield.
Don't struggle. Yield. Brother Saul, go and look at it. Did they not see people before they chose him to be king? What do you think made Saul to preserve sheep, preserve the best of the parts of the sacrifice? I mean, he wanted to sacrifice. Was it sacrifice he wanted to use it? Could he really have been sacrificed? He wanted to enrich himself. Because if they brought it, shouldn't he have started sacrifice immediately? Was it not that, what is this hearing of bleating of sheep and all of that that I'm hearing you doing? Then he found an explanation. Then another instruction came. Look at what he did. He wanted to use himself. Who is Saul? A king? Is he a priest?
No.
When you begin to cross your boundary, that's when I say you want to go and use yourself because you want to prove something. You want to show something. No. When Samuel came, what was Samuel saying? He said, now, the Lord wanted to what? Establish your kingdom. Imagine. Don't you see that in your Bible? That was what was in the heart of God for Saul. So, if Saul had yielded, would there be a David? And take note. The dimension of the Old Testament was the absence of the blood covenant of Jesus. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
But the presence of the blood covenant of Jesus made it more stronger. Hope you know that in the Old Testament there was no faith based on the on our Lord Jesus Christ. Was there a faith based on our Lord Jesus Christ?
No.
Hope you know Peter confirmed that when Christ went to the grave, he had to go and what? Preach to them that they are dead. Is that not so? The mystery of that is left on the rapture. What was it that made David different? Was it not that David even did more worse than Saul? Eh? Eh? What was it? When Brother Samuel spoke to Saul and he was to go, what was Saul supposed to do? Fall down and say, I have sinned against the Lord. Do you know what he was supposed to do? He was still trying to say, don't go away from me. For what? Go and read your Bible. For the sake of the people. Not that he was repentant. When I saw that scripture, I said, Saul will face Saul, do you know? At least if God has taken away the kingdom from me, at least cover me for now in this public place. Let's still maintain it small before you go. Not that it affect. And God said, Stay away with him. When David took somebody's wife, and Nathan the prophet came. You remember? Immediately Nathan said, that person must be killed. And they said, you are the man. What did he do? A broken spirit and a contrite heart, thou satisfied. We are dealing. Hope you know that message is a one leg message. Hope you know that we are dealing with brother, sisters. Can you start yielding easily? Let me tell you something. The only problem God will have with you is what? You are not yielding. That's the only thing. It is not your mistake that is the problem. Even God is working so that that mistake is not repeatable. Are you with me now?
Yes.
Even when you are seem to be shaking, he is labored because of the need. The only problem God... Do you know why a mistake will not continue? You are yielding.
Oh, you didn't follow me.
I have not continued my own mistakes by the grace of God. Not as if I got it right also at the first time. I must be honest. But this continual yielding. Oh, before we pray, look with me, John chapter 12, verse 40. Oh, Jesus, help me now. John chapter 12, verse 40. Look with me there. Another person should read with me, Mark 6, 52. I just want you to see something there. John chapter 12, verse 40, and Mark 6, 52. Are we all there? Are we all there now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, please.
The Lord has blinded the eyes of
the people. Lord has blinded the eyes of the people.
And he has made the people stubborn.
He has made the people stubborn.
He did this so that they could not see or understand.
Uh-huh.
And so that they will not turn to the Lord and be healed.
Uh-huh.
41. Isaiah said this because he saw the glory of Jesus and spoke about him. Even then, many of the leaders put...
I'm looking for where it says because of the hardness of their heart. Is that not where it is?
Okay, maybe this version.
Maybe it is John 12, 40. Because even when you read scriptures that says God allowed them to be blinded, they say because.
He has blinded their eyes,
mm-hmm,
and hardened their heart that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand.
Read verse 39, 40.
That the saying of Isaiah,
mm-hmm,
the prophet, may be fulfilled.
Okay.
Which he spoke.
Uh-huh.
Lord, who has believed our God?
So, what is the first problem? Hope you know this scripture agrees with Romans chapter 1 that says, because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Who had believed our report? We kept reporting, but they will not believe. Are you with me? See, what makes God to release somebody to hardness?
Because he has
strived to call. They will know what? They will not yield. That's why Isaiah said, who had believed our reports? See, the context of John 12, start from verse 1. You will find out that they saw like this. They will not. He said, looking, yet they see not. Hearing, yet they what? They will not understand. They are not what? They are not yield. That's why, don't confuse scriptures. If you must see scriptures like this, you must go to all. That's why I told you, interpreting scriptures must be by content and context. You must now look at, when Isaiah now say, for this reason the Lord God gave them, the Lord blinded their eyes. And then their understanding was darkened. Lest they should repent. You know, the way King James put it, as if God did not want them to repent. No! Because if you say God don't want them to repent, then where will, it is not in the will of God that all men should perish. Are you with me now? Read that scripture. Let's see how it sounds in King James. Go on.
Lord, who has believed our report,
uh-huh,
and for whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?
Uh-huh.
Therefore, they could not believe because that Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes,
mm-hmm,
and hardened their heart,
mm-hmm,
that they should not see,
mm-hmm,
with their eyes,
mm-hmm,
nor understand with their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And be converted,
mm-hmm,
and I should heal them.
Mm-hmm.
Those things said Isaiah,
mm-hmm,
when he saw his glory,
mm-hmm,
and spoke of it.
Now, if you now go back to Isaiah, you know they are trying to quote Isaiah here. Haven't you seen from scripture that God has been calling the children of Israelites himself to repentance? Don't you know know it was a time God now said, I have called you like children, yet you will not listen. Are you following me? So because of this, you have to now be it. And take notes. This is what? Old Testament before the blood was shed. Are you following me? We have to know how to put scriptures. Mark 6:52. What did he say? You see that? Now that Mark 6:52 is the issue of the loaves of bread. Do you remember? He said, for they did not what? Understand, because their heart was what? Hardened. Can you tell more? Their heart was hardened. See, some people choose not to respond to God. You must be a good student of the Bible. Didn't Jesus Christ told them that? From where did John get his power? What did they say?
He will not tell you.
They went back and said, if we say that John got it from the Lord, they will say, he will say, why? Don't you see that in your Bible? What is that, please? Unyieldedness. So you can't be hardened by mistake. Don't say you are hard. You are not hard. You don't know what hardness is. And there is a level where the Bible now says God blinded their eyes. There's a level like that in Romans chapter 1. It's in the Bible. When a person say, God's okay, if that's what you chose, I will release you. To do what is not convenient. He said they did not understand the loaves of bread for the word. But before the Bible said they had in their heart, who has been calling them first? I love Hebrews 3:13. Open to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Are you being blessed?
Yes.
I said, are you being blessed? Yes. Let's move on now. Before we pray, and I ran up, I'm trusting God that there will be help for us in the name of Jesus Christ. Who is reading for me? Yes, ma'am. Yes.
But instead, one, admonish, urge, and encourage.
Start again.
But instead, one.
Okay, to one. Okay. Instead, can start from verse 12. Can we have another translation before Amplified? See, is that verse 12, my dear?
Yes.
See to it, brothers. A sinful what?
Unbelieving heart.
So did you see that? What is the problem? That turns. Look at it. That turns. What will sinful? What is the sinful unbelieving heart that they are pointing to there? The sinful unbelieving heart is the one that turns away. Not. It's not yet sinful and unbelieving if it stays at the place of availability.
Yes.
Oh, you didn't get the mistake is not equal to sinful unbelieving. They say that turns. Next verse.
But encourage one another.
As
long as it is called today.
Can see? Go on, man.
So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness.
See, what is the solution to our brother not being hardened by sin has deceit. Sin, what is the deceit inside sin?
Pleasure.
That's the deceit. You know, what does pleasure do? It invites you in. Is that not so? What does pleasure do? Why is it that sin carry pleasure? Yes, deceit. Why did sin carry pleasure?
So that it can be easily attractive.
So that its destruction can be easy.
Can you lick fire?
No. No.
Can you drink poison?
No.
What will make poison drinkable?
If something sweet.
Is sweet. It has deceived your tongue. Please, Spirit, help me. I'm having a challenge here now. I pray God helps me. Since 4 days, no food has taste. Maybe you're in my category. I'm shocked. I'm very shocked. I'm not 4 days or more. Brother Joseph helped me yesterday with the issue of the generator. Petrol. It's not, I touched petrol like this. It did not smell at all. Every food, no, as in, you know when you just swallow something? I didn't feel the taste, I didn't smell it. No smell, no taste. Every food I'm just eating. And the Spirit of God spoke to me today. He said, now that you have no taste, can you be tempted with smell?
You cannot.
You don't understand? Do you know, I found out that I'm hungry, but I'm able to eat little. Didn't get it. Before, if I want to eat little, I will struggle because the taste is what? I will say, But the Spirit just told me that. He said, did you struggle to drop this remaining spaghetti? I said, no. He said, why? He said, because what will attract you is not there. So what makes sin to deceive is the pleasure it carries. And the pleasure is actually a pressure. Are you with me now? The pleasure inside sin, if you could see the end results, it's a terrible pressure. But the deceit is that it carries a pleasure. And where is the pleasure most powerful? Not in your spirit. It's your body. But they now said, what is the antidote to destroy the pleasure in sin? Exhort one another daily. So should you be angry when we are repeating the matter of the path of iniquity to you daily? They say the only way you will be free. Let's, how did they start? They said everybody should be careful lest the sinful unbelieving hearts makes a man to do what? Turn away from the Lord. Instead of that, exhort, that means through encouragement, admonish, amplified now.
From 13. But instead, one.
Admonish.
Urge.
Encourage. Did you see that? We warn.
Urge.
We urge. We encourage. One another.
Every day.
How many days?
Every day.
How many days?
Every day.
You see, you can't neglect people if you want to really walk this journey. You must have a way to keep contact with the brethren. There is the one another dimension in this journey. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Go on, please. Let me close that point.
One another every day. As long as it is called today.
So is it when there is a problem that we need to exhort one another?
Mm.
Is it when you are weak that we need to exhort you? Is that what the Bible says? One any day is called today. And my eyes got opened by that scripture. So once today is called today, I shouldn't assume fortunate is alright. Oh, you didn't follow me. I should not assume that he's our brother. It's not just this our brother can be deceived. So if I call him, hope you are doing well. How is your spirits? Hope you are not giving place to the devil. Should he be angry?
No.
If I say that to him, he will say, where is my disciple? But if he says that to me, he may feel that he's disrespecting me. Is it wrong to send me a message and say, God keep you, sir, as you march on in this journey, not allowing Satan to have the best part of us? Does that mean Satan is having the best part of me?
No.
They say, once it is today, we should exhort. Eh? If I say to you, hope as single brothers, how is the issue of ladies? Hope, should you be angry?
No.
Should you suspect me?
No.
Why is Robinga suspecting me? They say, why it is to, lest your heart is what? So it means when a person begins to enjoy the deceitfulness of sin, what's the next thing that will happen? Hardness. It will now become intentional and deliberate. Amen. But when a brother or sister does not turn away from the Lord, if that brother will not turn away, if that sister will not turn away, even if he had made mistake, who will wash it? Why? He needs it. Yieldedness. If a man will walk in an unbroken fellowship with God, he must sit down. He must analyze. Am I yielding? My only requirement is my yieldedness. This is the point you want to pray. Let me tell you something. I want you to sit down and look. And I close with this. The casing that encased the ointment is a blessing, but it's also an entrance. Did you follow me to that point?
Yes, yes.
That casing that woman, the alabaster jar, is a blessing to the ointment, but it can also be what? An hindrance. A hindrance to the ointment. You carry something that can serve dual purpose. It can be a blessing. It can also be an hindrance. Excuse me. Before the place of usefulness, the casing is for what? Protection. Is that not so? I said, is that not so? But at the place of usefulness, if that casing does not break, it has become what? An hindrance. Your body is a blessing to what you carry. This is your body. You say what? It's a blessing. In fact, Bible says we have this treasure in what? Please, what's the meaning of earthen? The root meaning, when the Bible uses the word earthen vessel, what does it mean?
Natural vessel.
Natural vessel. But in context, we have this treasure in a weak vessel. So I'm sure that God placed strength inside weakness. For my strength is what? I can't forget. I don't know. I think I was in Lagos. I was about to minister or something. I don't know. Maybe there's something happened and I was feeling useless. I said, can I minister? That scripture case. Say, what is your problem? My strength is not strength in your strength. What makes my strength perfect is in your weakness. That day I said, Lord, what do you mean? He said, you always appear strong. That's your problem. I don't use strong people. I don't use people who can get it right. They are dead. Do you know, I like to be perfect. I like to be here. And when I say perfect, I like to be, I'm just getting it right. I'm there, I'm here, I'm able to do this. But I find that I cannot. It is that weakness that makes me helpless. If I'm aware of it. For my strength is made perfect. So we have this treasure in what? Weak. Imagine me that carry authority. I can oversleep. But what did he say I should do when I oversleep? I should turn away. I should still be what? Available. Let me tell you something. Let me ask you a question. If I'm a student of the Bible, the body that Jesus used to carry about himself, did you see that language I made? Did you see that language? The body that Jesus used to carry about himself, is it different from your body? The only reason why that body was sinless is because of what God wants to achieve with it. But is it not flesh and blood like you? It is. So can I ask you? Was Jesus weak like us? let's get it. We are not talking about sin. But was Jesus as weak as us?
Yes.
In fact, 100%. Let me tell you one of the examples of the weakness. When he got to the fig tree, shouldn't he have known that it's not yet time for figs? Didn't you ever say he was hungry? And when he got there, there was what? But is Bible lying to us? He said he thought he was going to see something to eat. And when he got there, he didn't say anything to him. What did he do? He cursed him. No man will eat from you anymore. Jesus Christ was tired like me. You know, the first time the Lord said, read your Bible very well. I said I was like you. That's why I became your high priest. You know what I was like you? I struggled like you. Oh, I know that will be strange to you. He said, we do not have an high priest who cannot be taught with our infirmities, because he was in all points tempted like we are. That means the same way you have your own struggles, I struggle. What do you call what happened in Gethsemane? Struggle. I wish I can do something else. Nevertheless, you will, Lord. Yo, you thought it was only Gethsemane? Eh? You know that the Bible didn't give us these details. It means Jesus Christ will want to go and preach, but he'll be feeling sleepy. But what will he choose to do? Yield. What do you say in Gethsemane? Yielding. He's yielding. No. What brought about the fulfillment of our salvation? Yielding. When Peter messed up, why did he go back to look for them? He needs them. Hello? Who went back to Ephesians? How many people did he take along? If you want to backslide, can't you backslide alone? Must you carry the whole people to backslide? You know, I am not paying if somebody wants to backslide alone. But if somebody wants to not carry all my disciples that I labored for and backslide with them, is that an easy thing as a leader? When Jesus went back, what did he say go to do? He went to look for what? For them. Why? He needs them. If somebody is saying, if you know that you want to backslide, then go and backslide. No, he went for them. When he went for them, what did he go for? He went to that Peter and called him aside. Why did he call him aside and restructured, reordered, and restored him? Why? He needs it. The betrayer, the denier, three times. Was that the first time Brother Peter was misbehaving? No.
Oh.
Why did he do this study when Peter was rebuking his Lord? You remember?
Yes.
Why didn't he discard? He what? He needs it. What makes Peter always needable? He was always available. What made Judas Iscariot to be lost? Unavailability. Unyieldedness. This is the point where you pray. the thing God wants to do with my life and your life, who will do it? Who needs to do that thing? Eh? Talk to me now. Who wants to raise disciples? Who wants disciples to multiply? Is it our vision? Oh my God. From the beginning of all times, who wants many sons to be made turn to glory? So why should I kill myself for a ministry? And say, look at me. Lord, do I have enough strength for what? What I want to do? Who wants to do it? Who owns lives that must be multiplied and rescued from darkness? Am I the one? So, if he needs me, who will equip me? When I focus on my not being equipped, do you know I've missed the point? Who should I focus on? The Lord. So, quiet time is a function of what? Availability. It enables my yieldedness. Oh Lord Jesus, help me now. Help me now. Help me now, Lord. You need to trace, and I need to close this because this is the point the Spirit of God wants me to close with. You need to trace. You need to trace the casing. This case, I said, can be a blessing and what? You need a body to bear what is inside you that God needs. Are you with me?
Yes.
The reason why your own body is a male body is that it's peculiar to the need of God. Are you with me now?
Yes.
The reason why our sister carries a female body is that that body is peculiar to what is inside them. Are you with me?
Yes,
that body is a blessing. Authority on earth is based on a body. Hope you know a goat is more authoritative on earth than a demon.
Yes, yes, yes.
It carries the body.
Eh? Don't respect spiritual. They are nothing. If God open your eyes, you will stop listening to them. That bird doing kokoroko is more authoritative on earth than a demon. Why? Earth deals with materialism, material, physical.
No wonder spirit always look for a body.
So spirits always look for a body to dwell. That's why Satan was struggling for the body of Moses. They wanted to use it to be appearing all around. They want to manipulate something. Body is important to spirits. Even when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, what was he looking for? Building.
Oh.
What?
Building.
The case. Tell somebody by your side. Your body is a blessing. Don't hate your body. Boss. Say boss. It can also be an hindrance. So, your body, the alabaster box, as far as we have not reached the place of usefulness, we need it to carry the expensive. Take notes. Sometimes if you look at the jar, you will ignore the beauty that is inside it. The jar is not smooth. It's not a fine jar. It's not the jar we need. It's what is inside the jar. And what is inside the jar is the work of the Creator, not the devil. It's there. It's there. Imagine when the Spirit... Have you read your Bible? When Jesus first of all told his disciples, receive the Spirit, and he breathed upon them. You remember when he first said that? Yeah. You know, the Spirit has not come in dwelling, it was an empowerment. When he was saying that, were they already perfect brothers and sisters? Thomas was still doubting, yet he said, receive. So you see that what God focuses on is your inside.
Yes.
But what you are always focusing on is what? Your own outside. When a man seems to be weak, all he needs to still do is to be what? Available. For the one who called him in the first place has not discarded. He still needs him. Do you know a scripture came? I don't know when I was in university. It refreshes me. He said, what did I say in John 15? He said, any tree that produces, the Father when I first saw that scripture, you know, that I was drunk, it was what they say it produce, so they purge. So every production needs further purging. If there is no death, they won't purge. Let me tell you an example that one day Bro Billy gave. He said, when you are digging a well, the first thing you start digging out, you dig out dirt, rubbish, and all of that. He said, you dig out sand, red sand. He said, you get to a point, you will touch water, good water. He said, but if you want the purest of the purest, what do? You dig further. He said, when you dig to a point, you now start digging out white sand. Yes, he said that it is white. Does not make you stop digging.
No.
Even that thing that is good must be dug. Because as far as what we are looking for is concerned, that good thing is not good. For what we are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get that? God must dig out my self-confidence. And dig it away. God must dig out everything that makes me appear capable. And make you say, yes, now I've reached a point where I'm strong. God must dig out that one too. So that I will be so helpless to always cry for help. This is brokenness. So the cursing is a blessing. Satan knows the importance of that case. That's why he too is struggling for what? For that case. He wants to control that case. He wants to contaminate what is inside. So he needs that case. So if you want to always yield, find out what is my casing easily susceptible to. Do you know the first way to defeat an enemy is to know his weakness?
Yes.
Please listen to me as I close. How do you defeat your enemy? You must identify the strength of your enemy and the weakness of your enemy. Do you know the day you identify the weakness of your enemy, you will constantly defeat him? Do you know that? Do you know winning a battle is not big? What makes battle tough? There's something my enemy has that I don't know. The strategic plan that I have that did not conquer my enemy is because the weakness of my enemy is not known. When do people surrender in battle? When you strike down their weakness. Once you identify the weakness of your opponent and you touch him there, what happened to him? What will affect your yieldedness is that this your case is still susceptible, closer to an affinity. There's something your flesh likes. Can we go on? Can we go on? There's something your flesh likes. And I want you to know that because the devil does not want this casing to reach the point of usefulness, it will be deceitfulness of sin. It will be what? Luring that case away from the hand of the rightful owner. Hope you know your rightful owner is Jesus himself.
Yes, sir.
That's why, do you observe that whatever God, when Jesus Christ died, he did not deliver us from the presence of sin, but from the power of sin. Hope you know that. The death of Jesus delivered us from power, not presence. Because of presence, this casing, this is we are dealing with now, yieldedness. This casing has a strong affinity to whatever it is used to initially. Please listen to this. Do you know that when a child is introduced to certain habit from young age, hope you know the same principle of train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, you will know what? Do you know that when you are used to certain habit from childhood, do you know that if you are not careful, you will still find yourself wanting to do it? Is that not so? That's why the problem, let me ask you, the environment you grew in and the corruption that that grew with you, was it your choice?
No.
Eh?
No.
We're analyzing something. Was it your choice?
No.
You were born into that environment. Your family moved to a certain environment. The problem that happened around your childhood, did you practically decide it?
No.
But do you know that whether you were conscious of it or not, your body was getting used to it?
Yes.
Such that after some time it became a grief. What makes it a grief? Constant exposure to a particular thing makes it a grip, which you call addiction. Such that when you want to do like this, it becomes what? Hard to separate. You see, listen, that grip that makes it hard is what the cross came to break. But that thing that is holding you is still like this. It's still standing, but it's no more holding. Don't ever believe it's still holding. The day you believe, you are not free. It's not holding, but it's still there. Yieldedness. You will now see the Bible says the spirit is what? Fighting the flesh. And the flesh, the spirit. The Bible now said, it yield your bodies as servant of righteousness. That means what the cross of Calvary came to enact in you is ability not to be a slave. You must constantly believe it. I'm not a slave. But the presence is there. Can I now tell you this as we pray? Do you think that when you have been used to something for more than 10, 15 years, do you know as far as your body is used to that thing, your body is still always ready and available anytime you feed it? You'll be shocked that it will pick up like it used to do it. This is something that I've left you a long time ago. That's why those of you who have your body with an affinity to something in the past, you must understand that that thing is still there, ready to fight. Understand it. When you understand your enemy, the easier it is for you. I understood where to where my affinities. So the way you see that anywhere around that appearance, what must you not do? That is also yielding to the Lord. I'm telling you that you need this yieldedness. When you notice that I can't be deceived, do you know when you deceive yourself by saying the way I work with God, I can never do so and so, is a lie. Assumption is the foundation for confusion. No, I can never do so and so. I have known Christ. No. You know why you can do and not do? Presence and the casing. Hope you know that casing still is where the Holy Spirit wants to dwell. So the way, do you remember Romans 8? We study Romans 8 again and again. If ye through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. So your yieldedness is what? Once a month retreat, once in 2 weeks focus on the Lord. What is your yieldedness? A daily acknowledgement of there is a presence and I can do and undo. I don't trust myself. I only trust He that needs me. Oh, are you following me? See, what makes me needed by God is the reason why devil also need me. In fact, when God said He needed me, it increased my attraction to the pit of hell. You didn't follow me. You didn't follow me. When God said I need you, that was also that's what advertised me to the pit of hell. In fact, the reason why I have more struggle is my importance. Amen. The reason why my childhood was rough is that I'm important. I am needed. That's why it was all rough. Immediately God casted his eyes for a particular issue in my life, my advert went up in the pit of hell. So they will not give up. It's not new. It's not strange. I should not respect it. It's not strange. It's not new. It's not special. Actually, it's because I'm important. The space that God has is the space. Let me tell you something. Are you with me now?
Yes,
the space that God has is the space Satan also wants to have. Mm-hmm. How can he be struggling for mercy seat, the real mercy seat? Is it me we not struggle for? Excuse me. In heaven, should there be anything like unholiness there? It does not, it's not there. But the real Shekinah presence, you know Shekinah glory, the real Shekinah gong, the one that you look and you go blind and you die. That real seat of honor and authority that establishes the whole universe, Satan is struggling for that to the point that one third of the inheritance of heaven, he took it. Is it me? He won't struggle for. Satan is not interested in what God is not interested in. But if God is not interested in it, Satan is not interested in it. No, he's not. If once God is not interested in this thing, Satan says, if once God focuses on something, Satan will say, that thing must have potential. That thing God is focusing on must have potential. Let's go for it. So that whoever gets it first and gets it regularly gets the product of that thing. So every terrible puller in the world, whiskey, it must have been God is interested in whiskey. Don't you know that if Satan had his way, Michael, Naramali, it means Naramali is important to God. You don't know Satan went for Michael. Imagine if you are getting my game. Hiya. The ark. Chief angel, gongo. Hope you know Satan will have wanted Gabriel. Gabriel will have been a perfect messenger in the pit of hell. Why was he not afraid of the real mercy seat? If he wasn't, is he me? He won't struggle. So his struggle is normal, it's not strange. If he carries me and I seem to fail, it's normal. What did they say me I must do? Remain available. For he who needs me will pick me up again. So analyze what makes your kissing. Because let me tell you something. Some of you, there's an ignorance. You think that you were in something 10 years. So that you came to Christ, it will disappear. You lied. Listen. Power, not presence. Power, not presence. He delivered us from the power of darkness, not darkness. Power, not presence of darkness. He translated us. He took the rulership, their power, not their presence. Are you with me? So, for them to gain pseudo power now, illegitimate power, they will use their presence with pleasure to attract you. So, quiet time becomes inevitable. You must struggle. You must be helplessly. Because let me tell you something. In your strength, you can't do your quiet time consistently. I have not done my quiet time consistently. It took me to be begging God for help to be consistent. I'm telling you, Lord, you have to help me to be consistent with this thing. Because I'm important. That's why they are struggling for my heart. I can't tell you how many times I've seen Satan really struggle for my heart. You know, you'll get to a point sometimes in your work with God, you'll be asking, why, Lord? Why? What is this problem? Yes. Why? It's because you are important. What is the greatest error you'll have committed in your entire life? You did not yield. So when you analyze that, this is what my body has been used to, do you wait for that thing to come around and demonstrate your strength?
No.
What do you do always? This is the way to constantly remain on top. I know the things that my body was used to. And I have been working with God. Now I don't assume the body does not know it. It's a lie. He still knows it. Eh? And see, not only that I know it, those times, because of regular practice, it has not mastered it. But in Christ, the thing did not master me. Before, my body has mastered it, the thing has mastered my body. But now in Christ, what the mastery broke. But the presence is still there. Do you know what the devil now wants to do many times? He brings you closer to the presence of that thing. To check your resistance. Eh? Even in ministry. You know, sometimes we think when we are this, as somebody was saying, you people that are doing ministry, I said, you are joking. It is those of us in ministry, in fact, we are the first target, because when the pulpit is corrupt, the pew will be corrupt. You don't know? So you were enrolled for a battle the day you answered the call. And take note, you could have been a banker. You could have been a public speaker, motivational speaker, writing books. Who says you can't be that? You could have been a woman somewhere, selling one thing somewhere, having a big supermarket. Why was it that in your life, your heart was drawn to rescue souls? It's because you are important. You are needed. You were not qualified, you were needed. And once God focused on you, what happened to the pit of hell? So your struggle is normal. Your weakness is normal. You will fall one or two times, but what was you do? He who needs you asks you to what? Yield. Because your yielding is to help you not to fall again. Are you with me? Are you with me? You want to pray at this point. I will not do like I am strong. Did you hear me? I will not act as if I'm strong. But I'm going to throw myself. Excuse me. See the demonstration. Do you know, have you seen somebody that fainted before?
Yes.
If somebody faints, if you don't carry that person, what will they do?
You will remember.
He will just fall down.
Yes.
And if you see somebody fainting, that means no resistance. May you from today faint in the hand of God.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. When a man faints, it's because he has no
strength.
But if you will faint, in whose hand should you faint? Because you have no strength. The hand of the person that needs faint in his hand. Because the smoking, the broken reed, it will not break. The smoking flax, it will not quench. Why will he know? You know reed, you know reed. Oh, you don't know reed. You know reed. Reed is not stickle. Reed is not stickle. Reed is one fluffy something. Too lagbara. See what I'm saying? Something that is not powerful, if you read. You know, he said concerning John, he said, when you went out, did you went back to check a reed? Is John a reed? A reed is not something strong. They now say the reed is not, that is not strong. They say it has break. They now say a broken reed. When a reed that is not even strong before is broken, what will you do with it? He will now not throw it away. He will still use it like he's using a stick. That's Jesus. What is a flax? A flax is something that they use to make fire. They now say a smoking flax. Smoking flax means this thing is not bringing out fire again. It's bringing out what? Flame, smoke. smoke that will be pepping people's eyes. What is it supposed to do? When you see smoke, you know, when they are cooking, trying to cook, and the stick is not bringing out fire, what would people say? Please, if you cannot make fire of that thing, throw it away. Is that not what people say? If Jesus Christ see a smoking flask, instead of him to throw that flask away, what will he do? He will make it to carry fire. Why? He needs it. What will be the greatest error of that reed?
Unyieldedness.
This flax that everybody say, look at you, you're supposed to be bringing out fire. You're just bringing out smoke. Can any good thing come up? I think you have lost your usefulness. Can you say, you know, you will see a question coming like, can you ever achieve that thing God wants you to achieve? Because look at what you did now. They say if it's a smoking flax, it will not, it won't quench. Why? He needs it. When I saw this thing yesterday, the greatest error of your life is unyieldedness. So when you yield, you must be better than yesterday's weakness. When you yield again, you'll be better than initial weakness. When you yield again, it is that constant yieldedness that is the necessary ingredient for brokenness. And it's that brokenness that makes you constantly useful. And your usefulness is not because you want to be useful. It is he that needs you. So, if they don't need me in the first place, they will not invite me to come. Close your eyes, let's pray. Mandri Baradinos, Kapesh Kabalia. I won't tell you to start praying, but you need to pray and speak to the Lord.